I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
All right, are we ready to go?
Yeah, ready to go. Yes, sir.
All right, let's do this then. Hello, everyone. Welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. I am joined by musician Mr. Jesse Thompson. How's it going, Jesse?
It's going great. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. So nice to have you on the program. To start out, I know you have a song that you just released.
Yes. It's called Late Night. It features Judah Seeley on saxophone, and it was co-written and produced and mixed by Adam Hawley.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about what the song is about?
Yeah. So the song basically is a song that I was able to be fortunate to collaborate with Adam Hawley on. Adam kind of wrote, he actually wrote the foundation of the music of the song. And then I came along with him and created the medley and along with the lead piano solo with that and some aux keys. So we got together and we collaborated and finished the tune. And at that moment, that's when Adam, I was talking and Adam said, you know, yeah, I think I'm hearing saxophone on this tune. And I was thinking I was going to, you know, pretty much feature Adam on the whole tune, you know, pretty excited about that. But, you know, trusting Adam and his production ear, we decided to work with Judah Seeley. And we both worked with Judah together doing a show in Buffalo, New York with Adam. So that was my first time meeting Judah. So that's how we kind of got together. But anyway, went ahead and contacted Judah Seeley. And man, the rest is history. He got the song and he just blew it out of the water. So it was amazing to be able to work with him, and really a lot of fun working with both those guys. So the song is called Late Night. So I guess you can imagine when the song was created, Late Night. <Yes. laughs> So, but yeah, it's a nice groove. And, you know, we really wanted to be able to create something that feels good, that, you know, allows you to really understand and get into groove of a tune and just have a good time and relax, you know, in a smooth kind of groovy kind of way.
Now, is this part of a album that you guys are creating?
Yeah, so this will be on my solo album. Yep, it is not completed yet, but this is the first single cut off of the project. So I'm really excited about this. And yeah, we're working on some more music as we speak, and also currently working on a Christmas EP as well. So got my hands full a little bit right now. Yeah.
Talking about a young musician, you really kind of started when you were 5 years old, and that was when you picked up an instrument for the first time. And then get this, by age 13, or no, by age 12, you were able to do 13 different instruments. That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it all started with me playing the drums. And, you know, my dad was a professional jazz drummer, and my mom was a church organist and pianist. So I got it honestly. I pulled out the set of drums from this closet room in the basement, and at that moment I drove my parents kind of nuts in a way, because I played drums and then also picked up the cello while in school, you know, grade school. Yeah. And at that moment I really loved the instrument, but because of the location where we were and where I was bused across town, my parents worried about me getting jumped or bullied. And so if that's the case, if the instrument would have been stolen, they were like, we can't afford to replace it, so find something else. So that's when I started playing brass instruments. I picked up the trumpet and started playing that, as well as a French horn, and that helped carry me through, as well as still, you know, playing the organ and piano, being taught by my mom how to do that. And then also my oldest brother, Marvin, he's played with Parliament, Slave, Dayton Sun. You know, he knows all those guys, Ohio Players, that sort of thing. So, you know, being a kid and hanging around with him like a little shadow, you know, he took me in the studio with him. And so I learned a lot by just hanging out with him as well and being able to meet different people and understand at an early age, you know, how to actually, you know, work in the studio. So that was a lot of fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I mean, you got your start in a lot of ways, or in the main way that a lot of these musicians also kind of got started. It was in the church.
Right.
That seems to be a great place to start anything at all.
Yes. You know, it's not only a great place to start, but it's great in so many other ways in terms of discipline, self-discipline,
yes,
learning how to be versatile. and learning how to take instructions, and then also learning how to take, get this, criticism.
There's that.
You know, yep. You know, structural criticism for sure, because if you do something that isn't right or didn't sound right, oh, they will let you know. Yeah. So it was a learning experience. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Church is another great learning ground where I started as well.
So yeah. Now, are you still able to play all 13 instruments?
I have not touched all 13 in a while, but I am. It's interesting. I am thinking about picking up the cello and using that on one of our upcoming future projects. You know, it's part of it anyway. But yeah, but the trumpet and everything, I still play that today and that sort of thing. I used to, you know, the difference is I used to have access to all kinds of instruments, you know, being in school.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that kind of helped out back then. You know, it's not like it is today where you have to, you know, pay to play, you know, in school yeah. bands. You know, plus rent the instruments and plus pay for maintenance and all this other stuff. And, you know, it's really tough on students nowadays compared to when I was coming up, because, again, you know, we really didn't have issues with funding. You know, there was always the opportunity to, you know, go pick out an instrument, take care of it. If you had issues, get with your band directors and you know, that sort of thing. So, but yeah, but I do, I still have a trumpet. I also, you know, was talking about picking back up the French horn, which is a beautiful instrument as well. So that's something I plan to do in the near future.
Now, there's an instrument you don't hear a lot of on songs today is a French horn.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. Yeah. French horn is very beautiful, though. You know, growing up playing in different bands, so I played in a concert band. Right in school, and
yeah.
Which is where I really played that instrument. But then in a jazz band, I played trumpet in jazz band. So, but then you know you have your pep bands, and then I played a marching band. I played in the brass ensemble. So you know, during my days, they really kept me busy. You know, yeah. My band directors, kudos to them for really helping out. You know, Mr. Leroy Hall from my hometown, Dayton, Ohio, and Mr. James Oliver from Dayton as well. Both of those guys were really instrumental in my life as being mentors and teachers and leaders and helping me to pursue, you know, my passion, which is music.
So how many hours a day would you just spend with these instruments while you're in school and trying to figure out how to play them?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. So I would, you know, because I love music so much, I would spend, you know, probably after I got out of school, I would probably spend at least about 4 hours just with music in itself. Wow. You know, not only practicing, but, you know, playing the instruments and really getting into music itself. But you have to also understand, too, after school, I didn't just go straight home. After school, I stayed in the band room. It was like a family room for a few of us, you know, young, aspiring musicians. Okay. So we were in a band room with our band directors, and we would go in there. We would practice. We learned how to record on four tracks. We learned how to do certain, you know, techniques and skills and stuff like that, scales itself. And we were always talking about music. We were always hanging out. We were always, you know, studying different other artists like James Brown, Earth, Wind, and Fire, right? And those kind of people, and David Foster. And we'll just kind of dissect the music down to understand what they were composing or what they were doing musically. And so at that moment, then we would go in and we would mock some of those things on instruments. And then when I get home, I, you know, of course, the homework had to be done first. So I did that. But but after that, you know, I was always playing. Yeah. Yeah. Homework is important, right?
You know, that's important. One thing I want to get across in this whole podcast. Yes. homework always comes first. Anyways, as you were saying.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. 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 Homework is very important. So make sure you do your homework. Yeah, that's very important.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So you were also talking about your brother, how because it sounds like music just kind of ran through your household. It sounds like as a child and still does to this day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In my household, you know, with all the different genres from gospel to jazz, you know, like big band jazz, like the Count Basies and the, you know, Duke Ellingtons and the Charles Erlands and all those people, right. To some blues, you know, Bobby Blue Band, that sort of thing. And then also to a little bit of classical as well. And then, of course, we had the R&B, So all those things were constantly flowing and moving in our household, and there was never a dull moment. And, you know, it was just something that was just a part of culture. You know, that's what went on. And then when you in a city like Dayton, and you grow up and you see the people like Roger Troutman's and the Shirley Murdochs and the Ohio players and people from Slave and Steve Aronson Hall of Fame and so forth. Mm-hmm. You see all these different people, and you're used to seeing them because it's just like, you know, hey, this is you and me. You know, you see them at a grocery store or something like that.
Yeah.
But then to hear them on a radio, it's when it becomes reality. Like, yeah, you know, it was a lot of fun. It's a great experience during that time. So, just being surrounded and, you know, with music, was just absolutely, an everyday thing.
No, yeah. I'm in one of the, I think, hubs for music, Kansas City, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. And, Kansas.
Yeah. So I'm sure you've probably been here. As you know, we are a jazz kind of place. We have a whole museum here dedicated to jazz, and Count Basie lived here. And very familiar with the whole jazz thing that you are talking about. So have you been to the Jazz Museum here in Kansas City?
I have not yet, but I do have a couple of friends that are there that are artists, Julian Vaughn, definitely. As a matter of fact, I'm playing with him in a couple of weeks, him and Adam Holly. He's from there, and I have not been there yet, but that is a goal of mine, is to come there. You know, I actually want to go to every city, you know, sure, and do a little bit of studying and, you know, visit some different museums and, you know, just kind of understand the history of the cities itself. Because there's so much to learn and see, you know. But yeah, you're in a cool town, man. Kansas is a cool town.
Absolutely. I mean, I tell you, I don't think we get as much credit as we possibly should I get that Nashville and LA and all those places are the music capital. I get that. But Kansas City has definitely earned its right in history when it comes to the whole music scene.
Yeah, you guys have a lot of history there, and you have a lot of musical, I call it birthright there as well. You know, like you mentioned with Count Basie. I mean, come on, he was truly legendary. Yes. He's just one of the very many. But I'll just speak on him a little bit because my dad was really into, you know, jazz and big band swing, and he had just about every Count Basie album out there. And I remember when Count Basie came to Dayton, Ohio, he was at the Dayton Hare Arena. And unfortunately, I was not old enough to go. And my dad was trying to get me to get in so bad, but it wouldn't work. So, but he went to the show, and he was able to take his little battery operated tape recorder, you know, to remember those big units, cassette player. Yeah, he had that, and he was able to take it with him and record some of it. And man, it was so amazing to hear it live, and to know that the Count Basie and his orchestra was, you know, in Dayton, Ohio. Like, wow, it was just incredible. Mm. So you're absolutely correct. Yeah, I definitely do plan to come there and check out the museum and spend some time. So
absolutely.
And hopefully while I'm there, I can do a show.
Absolutely. We got great places for that too. And Kansas City has the winning football team as well. Just saying, I was going off.
Yeah, I know. You guys have an incredible team. Patrick Mahomes, those guys, man, it's incredible. You guys are on fire. So
that's good. And we plan to keep it that way too. Just saying.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I wanted to give one more shout out to your song. It's called Late Night, and it's available. Yes. And I'll post it whenever I go to post this interview. But anybody can find it on any of the streaming platforms, right?
That's correct. All streaming platforms worldwide. So everything from Apple Music, iTunes, Deezer, YouTube Music. Yeah. All over Amazon Music. We have it made available globally, so feel free to go out there and download it.
Yes.
It's on Spotify as well. You know, if you want to download it, that would be even better.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, yes, Jesse, sir. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for coming on to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. It was an honor. I hope to be back soon, and I'll let you know when I'm headed to your city.
Absolutely. Please do. Yes, absolutely. I'll come see you, sir. But thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Take care.